Well, why in the world should the church care about the repentance of the Jewish people?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, it is the middle of the night here in Hong Kong, and it is my delight to be coming your way live, as in L-I-V-E, live, 3 a.m. Hong Kong time. Welcome to the Line of Fire, which means Thoroughly Jewish Thursday from Hong Kong. That's right. Any Jewish-related questions you have, any question you want to ask about Jewish tradition or Jewish beliefs or messianic prophecy, if you're a Jewish person listening and you don't believe Jesus is the Messiah and would like to tell me why, if you've got a question having to do with Old Testament Jewish interpretation or the state of Israel today and issues concerning Israel, give me a call at 866-348-7884. And I will get to as many calls as I can. Again, we are coming your way live from Hong Kong, and we have our phone lines open now, 866-34-TRUTH. If you could remember to pray for me, this should be quite a special day. It's the last day teaching Jeremiah, so the plan is after the show's over, then I'll try to rest for a couple of hours, then teach Jeremiah through the rest of the day, and the emphasis is going to be, as we finish the last six chapters after that, practical ministry, practical application. How do we apply the question of prophetic ministry to today? And we're going to go through those issues. And then at the end of the day, I'm going to lay hands on the 44 students in the class. And they're really anticipating God to touch them. And that puts me in a situation of holy and fearful dependence on the Lord. Because unless he touches and helps and gives grace, it'll just be laying hands on people's heads. We want God's fresh touch and blessing. And then into the evening, there'll be the final ceremony, I guess, after the week of classes. They'll reflect on how they've been impacted by the different classes and just get some fellowship with everyone before we go. So it's going to be a full day, and it should be a special day. So thanks for sharing it with me. 866-348-7884. I've got lots of news items relating to things happening in Israel and the Middle East. And then I want to open up some text with you from Scripture that will indicate why the repentance of the Jewish people should matter to every Christian. Why this is not just something that should matter to Jewish believers. Why this should not just matter to some that have a heart for Israel, but it shouldn't matter others. No, this is something that should be of importance to everyone. It's a question that came up from the Chinese Christians this week. One of them was wondering, why should this matter to all of us? Not in a negative way, but wanting more insight. So we're going to open up the Scripture, cover some news items of interest, and take your calls. But first, do I hear singing? Is there some singing? Do you hear singing? Ah, yes, I recorded that in the chapel service yesterday morning. They do a lot of traditional hymn singing. You'll find that in Korean church as well. But many of the Christians that I'm with come from traditional backgrounds, and the singing of the hymns would be especially common. So a couple of hymns I haven't sung in many, many, many years, and there they had the Chinese, and for the benefit of the professors, they put the English up as well. So that was one of the hymns we sang. Later on in the program, I'll play a responsive reading where they read the Great Commission and the call to go, and then they respond with an amen. We'll go. We've got some other clips to play for you. But eager to take your calls, update you on what's happening in Israel, open up the word, 866-348-7884. We'll be back live from Hong Kong.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on The Line of Fire today. It's Thoroughly Jewish Thursday, even though my time, it's 3:07 in the morning in Hong Kong, Friday morning. But Thoroughly Jewish Thursday, indeed, 866-348-7884. Before I share some Israel news with you and then take some calls, I just want to mention I wrote an article that ties in with the subject matter yesterday having to do with abortion-related issues. Some shocking stats, illegitimacy around the world, in the States, lots of issues. Some Mother Teresa quotes, really staggering material. It's called When Having a Baby is a Crime. To read the article, go to AskDrBrown.org, click on The Line of Fire, and you'll see a link to tell you where to read my latest article. I think you'll find it very important, informative, eye-opening, staggering, further evidence of the need for God in America and the world. And please do pass that on. All right. In the civil war taking place in Syria, there are Islamic militants who are involved with this, and there have been some incursions that have affected northern Israel, Golan Heights, which is the border of Israel and Syria in the north. There's fear from the Israelis that this could now be an easy place for infiltration and attack, a launching ground for terrorist attacks against Israel. I remember our first trip to Israel in 86, Nancy and I just being shocked when we went and saw the Golan Heights and realized, well, someone just stand there and shoot down at Israelis. So Israel is now planning to build a 43-mile security fence / wall in the north, Golan Heights. Why? Same reason they've done it in other parts of the land, to keep murderers out. Be interested to see how that will play out. Okay. The president of Israel, Shimon Peretz, has warned that the Palestinians are liable to launch a new uprising if the Jewish state doesn't do more to try to reach a peace accord. Why is Peretz saying this? Well, Peretz is much more left-wing in his approach, and he's criticizing Prime Minister Netanyahu with elections coming up in just 12 days. President is more of a ceremonial position. The presidents tend not to make political statements, but as a report says, this was the second time in less than 2 weeks that President Shimon Peretz's criticism of Netanyahu's approach to the Palestinians has found an international platform. Quote, this is in New York Times Magazine, if there's no diplomatic decision, the Palestinians will go back to terror, knives, mines, suicide attacks. Even if the local inhabitants do not want to resume the violence, they will be under the pressure of the Arab world. Interestingly, the candidate who is making the most noise and suddenly challenging Netanyahu and his Likud party is to the right of Netanyahu. He fought in one of the elite combat units in Israel, and he's also successful, entrepreneurial, and young, just in his 40s. And it looks like there's the potential of his party getting more votes, which would mean that there'd be a very strong coalition of right-wing parties. And his position is the exact opposite, is we've done everything we can to offer peace. We've done everything we can to cooperate. I saw a CNN interview. He said, look, we gave Gaza back to the Palestinians. This was supposed to be the Singapore of the Middle East. Instead, it's the launching ground for terror against Israel and the people, consequently, some of them living in squalor. So, again, politics in Israel heating up with elections on the 22nd. And if you're not familiar with the way things run in Israel, you don't vote for an individual, you vote for a party. So Netanyahu heads up Likud, for example. And then you'll have 10 or 12 different parties or more getting blocks of votes. Let's say you need a coalition of 61 to have a majority. Your party may only get 20. And then the next party after you may get 18. And then you work with these various other parties, and each one, well, we want this, we want this. The ultra-Orthodox parties want special benefits for their constituencies, and you've got to put this coalition together, and it gets very, very tenuous. That's politics in Israel. 866-348-7884. Let's start with Don in Washington, D.C. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire. Yes, hello, you're on the air. Well, looks like we lost Don. Let's go to Daniel in Flagstaff, Arizona. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, about a month ago you asked for a worthy opponent to debate on preterism. I left his information on January 8th, Hypergrace page under a pseudonym because I accidentally left my information. The explanation is there anyhow. I had another question,
was,
but I had to change.
Yeah, who was who is the gentleman that you were recommending?
He says he's a bishop. He says his name is Bishop or his title is Bishop George Curry.
Okay. Yeah, my office has actually been in touch with him, and he's written back and sent us some information. I was just looking at that before the show, and if it seems that he would be a good representative, a fair representative, then by all means, we will have him on and have a discussion about preterism with him and fulfillment of prophecy, etc.
Praise God. Okay. And then I had to change my question to be Jewish because I didn't realize it was Thursday. I thought it was Friday. So what do you think about, and I'm sorry, because, you know, we talk about Jewish people are world changers, and it's true. You know, this is all true. But so then I hope I'm not being...
Just go for the question, all right, buddy?
Yeah. Okay.
Thanks, Daniel.
Joshua, I heard rabbis say that Joshua was not Jewish, the successor of Moses. His family was not originally born Jewish. They were a family, obviously not Jewish, they were Gentile, that came into the Israel. So what do you think about the fact that a Gentile led the Jewish people who were supposed to be the head, the world changers?
Yeah, there's no evidence for that whatsoever. I've heard that about, people have tried to argue that about Caleb.
Caleb.
When you said, yeah, so certainly not Joshua, but there's no clear evidence. So Joshua, certainly not. And there's no clear evidence that Caleb was not originally an Israelite. Now, here's what we do know, though. If someone turned to the God of Israel and wanted to become part of the family of Israel, and in that sense, a convert like Ruth, that someone like that could potentially be welcomed. But, yeah, I think you confuse the subject with Joshua and Caleb there. So some have argued it for Caleb, but to me, the evidence is scant that he was not originally an Israelite. And if he wasn't and became part of the people, in later Judaism, someone that was a proselyte, Rabbi Akiva, for example, one of the most famous rabbis in Jewish history, would have been one generation in as from a family of proselytes. So, hey, Daniel, thanks for the call. And by the way, it is Friday here in Hong Kong, so it's Thoroughly Jewish Thursday on the broadcast, but I'm already 13 hours ahead. All right, thank you for the call. We will get back to the phones. Can I encourage you, though, the earlier you try to get through on the broadcast, the better, because very consistently we get floods of callers as the show goes on, and it's harder to get through, and then no way I can even try to get to the questions. So the earlier you call, the better chance we have of being able to answer any of your Jewish-related calls. 866-348-7884. Let me just go to a scriptural theme, though. As I asked at the beginning of the broadcast, why is Jewish repentance something that should be of concern to the whole body? Why should all Christians be concerned about that, the turning of the Jewish people back to God and to the Messiah? You'll see many texts that are promised in the Old Testament that when the Jewish people do turn to God, that it will bring blessing to the nations of the world. And the New Testament actually reiterates that picture most plainly in Acts 11, Romans 11, Acts 3 also being a prominent passage. And there are others, but here's a passage in the Old Testament, the book of Jeremiah. It's talking about the return from exile and then with a promise that there'll be a turning of the Jewish people back to God in a serious way. It says in Jeremiah 3:17, at that time they will call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all nations will gather in Jerusalem to honor the name of the Lord. No longer will they follow the stubbornness of their evil hearts. So there's something about Israel's turning back to God, and with that, the nation streaming in together. The gospel is going to the entire world. More people have come to faith in the last 50 years than any time in church history. You could combine centuries and centuries and centuries without a harvest this great. And yet it's not just the gospel going to the nations. It's the gospel going to the nations and the climactic act, the turning of the Jewish people back to God.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on Thoroughly Jewish Thursday here on the Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. Phone lines are open. I am coming your way live from Hong Kong, 3:20 a.m., 866-34-TRUTH. Have you ordered your free copy of my Acharit CD, the most important message ever preached in my life, the most remembered message I've ever preached in my life? It's been preached around the world. Others have taken the scriptural truths and gone and preached them themselves because they're so impacting. We open up on this CD first a dimension of the Hebrew language and how it works, and then take this one word, acharit, and then go through Proverbs and other texts, and it is eye-opening, and it is shocking, and it is life-changing, and it gives a spiritual principle that helps you live for God and not get picked off by the devil. There are ministers who have destroyed their ministry. There are believers who have destroyed their lives, and if they had only taken heed and taken hold of this one simple scriptural truth, their lives would have been changed forever. To get your free copy, call 1-800-278-9978. Just today and tomorrow, last 2 days to do it. We've done this all this week from Hong Kong, but I urge you to take advantage of this special offer. You can help with a gift for the broadcast needs that we have. That would be awesome. But please, everyone, take advantage of this. Only one more day after this to do it. 1-800-278-9978. We'll send you the CD. You can listen to it on your computer or your MP3 player. Before I go back to the phones, let me explain once again some of the foundational importance of Jewish repentance in God's sight. Jewish people are not better than anybody else. Jewish people are not worse than anybody else. But when you read our history in Scripture, the history of Israel and Jewish people, you see we're certainly not more righteous than anybody else. You see that we don't have grounds to boast. Look at our great works. Look at our great accomplishments. The five books of Moses indicate our consistent and persistent sin against God. Old Testament history indicates that. We need God's grace just like everyone else. God does not make racial distinctions where he favors one group among another. He does, however, keep his promises. He made promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because of which he called out a people, Israel, a people through whom Messiah would come. You say, well, now that Messiah has come, God's done with him. No, it's not the case. Because Messiah has come, the promises don't get broken. Does that make sense? Now that Messiah comes, God breaks the promises he made with his people. You say, no, but when Messiah comes, all the promises are fulfilled through him. They are reaffirmed through him. In other words, they do not disappear and go away. If God promised to preserve a remnant of his people, to always preserve Jewish people in the world no matter what, because he made promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Messiah coming doesn't do away with that promise. The Messiah's coming reaffirms it. As many promises as God has made, they are yes in Christ, Paul writes to the Corinthians. Doesn't mean they go away. It means they are reaffirmed, they are strengthened, they are reiterated. And that's why Peter said that in Acts 3, Jesus will remain in heaven until the time comes for the restoration of all things as spoken by the prophets. Go back and read what the prophets wrote. And the prophets in many passages, for example, Isaiah 2, talked about the mountain of the Lord's house being exalted above all the other mountains, talking about Jerusalem, and how the nations would stream to the house of the Lord. They would come to learn from the God of Jacob. Why? Because that's the way God set it up. Does it bother you that salvation came through the Jewish people through Jesus? Does that bother you? Does that seem unfair? No, God had to send his son through a people. God had to work with the people to reveal himself to the world. And that is the Jewish people, the people of Israel. Now that the Messiah has come, the covenant of God's grace has been opened up to the entire world. And through the Jewish people, the gospel then went to the entire world. And now it is the responsibility of the entire world, the Christians from nations all over the world, to pray for the Jewish people. Each one needs the other. The Gentile nations needed the Jewish people to learn of the God of Israel and to bring the Messiah into the world, and then to take the message of the Messiah through the Jewish apostles into the nations, all right? And then it is now the job of the nations to have mercy on Israel and the Jewish people. It is the job of the nations, I'm talking about believers, the church around the world, to pray for the salvation of Israel and the Jewish people. And then Jesus will return to Jerusalem when he's welcomed back by a Jewish Jerusalem, as we see at the end of Matthew 23. I often refer to that passage because many people just look at the negative side. It's a word of judgment against Jerusalem. Yes, but there's an until. You will not see me again until you welcome me back as the Messianic King. This is in keeping with many, many other passages that we have in the Hebrew Scriptures in the Old Testament that point to Israel's salvation, Israel's turning, meaning glory for the whole world. If you say, yeah, well, some of that means the millennial kingdom, that means that there's the great harvest of the nations, the outpouring of the Spirit and people coming to faith in Jesus around the world, as is happening and continues to happen around the world at an extraordinary pace, massive world harvest in many, many, many nations, staggering numbers, in fact, that'll continue to happen. Then there'll be an end time turning of the Jewish people to the Messiah, and then he'll return and set up his kingdom, and then there'll be glory on the earth during the millennial kingdom, and that'll be the fruit of Israel's salvation. Fine, you can parse it how you want. The key thing to understand is the central importance of the gospel going to the nations and the Jewish people turning to God. I want to encourage you, if you have not prayed for the salvation of Israel and the Jewish people on any regular basis, if it's not part of your thinking, if you say, hey, we got to reach our neighborhood, or our church just launched a new missions outreach in the inner city, we're supporting some missionaries in Uganda, awesome, amen, precious, important, of critical importance in God's sight, give yourself to it, but also pray that as you have received mercy that has come through God's work among the Jewish people and then their rejection of Messiah on a national level, pray that mercy will come back to them and it will bring about the most glorious happenings on the earth that the world has ever seen. As Paul explained in Romans 11, if Jewish rejection meant riches for the nations, salvation coming to the nations, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? Okay, remember, 1-800-278-9978, number to call to get your free copy of the Acharit CD, which you need to do it today or tomorrow. We've done this the entire week so we could do something special for you while coming your way from Hong Kong. 1-800-278-9978. Again, your gifts and contributions are warmly welcomed and appreciated. Most importantly, though, make the call and take advantage of this free offer so we can send you the CD. And perhaps this is the very thing you need to change your life.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. It is now 3:30 in the morning in Hong Kong. I wanted to make sure I came your way live today. 866-348-7884. You've got Jewish questions. We've got Jewish answers. So again, phone lines are open with any Jewish-related question of any kind that you have. This is the day to get your questions answered. 866-34-TRUTH. I've got a bunch of news items I want to share with you from Israel, but first, back to the phones. Manny in Jersey City, New Jersey, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, how are you, Dr. Brown?
Doing very well, thanks.
Good, good. Listen, I work for an ascetic Jewish company for the last 9 months, and I would love to be able to talk to them a little bit more in depth about Jesus, but as it relates to the Old Testament, since they don't recognize the New Testament, here's my question. Is there any reference to Father, Son, and Spirit in the Old Testament that I might be able to reference? Like, for example, I do know that in Genesis, in the creation process, God refers to, I think it said something like us. I don't know the exact quote because I read it a couple of days ago, but God actually refers to us, meaning him and some other person, whether it's the Spirit and Jesus. I don't know, but that's what I'm
referring right. Right, beginning in Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our image after
right.
our likeness. Right. So the question is, does that point to God's triune nature? Is that God talking to the angels? Or, you know, those things are obviously that language, what it actually means is debated and discussed by religious Jews. Is it just God speaking what's called the plural of majesty? There's a lot of debate about that. It's a fair question to raise. But the approach that I normally use is I will go through different texts that demonstrate God appeared in visible ways to the people of Israel in the past. Genesis 18, it's clear that Yahweh with two angels appears to Abraham and Sarah. Exodus 24, the elders of Israel, Moses, Aaron, others, see God, literally see him on Mount Sinai. I go through texts like that. I go through texts that indicate the Holy Spirit is not just some type of power. He can be grieved. He teaches. He instructs. And then passages that point to the Messiah, the Messianic King, having divine nature. And when you put those things together, the only conclusion you can come to is God's unity is complex. That's how I refer to it. Manny, do you have my book, either The Real Kosher Jesus or Volume 2 of my series on answering Jewish objections to Jesus?
You know, I don't. And any reference or resource I can get, that I'd love to be able to read into it.
Right. Well, the two that I would most strongly recommend are number one, The Real Kosher Jesus. And you'll find it a total eye-opener. And there are some sections in the second part of the book, or the third part, that open up some of these mysteries and secrets. And it's also good to give to a Jewish person. In other words, you can read it and you can say, hey, you know, this Orthodox rabbi wrote this book, Kosher Jesus. Someone wrote this other book, The Real Kosher Jesus. So that's one, The Real Kosher Jesus. You can get it in Christian bookstores or online easily. And then the other is Answering Jewish Objections to Jesus. It's a 5-volume series I wrote. You want volume 2. Because I've got lots and lots of discussion of God's triune nature revealed in the Old Testament. So Answering Jewish Objections to Jesus, Volume 2. And The Real Kosher Jesus as well. Got to go, Manny, but thank you for the call. May the Lord use you as a light.
It It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire. Did you read my article yet, When Having a Baby is a Crime? If not, please go to AskDrBrown.org, click on The Line of Fire, and you'll see a link to my latest article. You can read it in a few different places, but we'll link you to one of those. You can weigh in with your comments as well. An eye-opening article, very, very important, especially as we approach the 40th anniversary of Roe v. Wade. 866-348-7884, coming your way live from Hong Kong. Even though it's 3:37 in the morning here in Hong Kong, it is Thoroughly Jewish Thursday on the Line of Fire. Isaiah 60 is another one of these passages that indicates that Jewish turning to God has significance for the nations. For example, arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. You say, well, that applies to the church now. Well, you can make whatever spiritual application you like. Hey, that could be a word that speaks to you in the midst of a trial. You know, your light has come, the glory of the Lord rises on you. But in context, this is a promise to Israel. And this is a promise to Israel after judgment that God will then turn Israel back to God. And with turning Israel back to God, will turn nations to God. 866-348-7884. Before I go back to the phones, some news from Israel just a few weeks back. The prayer shawl, tallis, has a traditional blessing, and God is praised, the one who sanctifies God's people, his commandments, and specifically praised there for the commandment to wear the tzitzit, the prayer shawl, the fringes that God commanded in the Torah that ultimately get applied in traditional Judaism. One of the ways is with the prayer shawl. Well, Yad Lachim, this is a counter-missionary organization. At times they've been guilty of some very unethical methods of opposing Jewish followers of Jesus in Israel. They're very shocked and upset, and talk about this on their website, that they say missionaries have been selling these taliot, these prayer shawls in Ben Yehuda Street in the heart of Jerusalem. So people coming by, tourists, it's a big tourist spot. And here, you want to buy the tallis, and sure, and then they just think it's traditional Jewish tallis, and then they open it up, and it has a prayer to God who filled the entire Torah with Yeshua the Messiah and covered us all in his righteousness. So tourists found out about this, and they were very upset and contacted this counter-missionary organization, Yad Lachim. And of course, Yad Lachim is going to use this as a further means of attacking Jewish believers in Jesus. Let me just say this. I'm fine with Jewish believers putting out tallis that has this message in it and understands Jesus Yeshua to be the one spoken of throughout the Torah and the one who covers us in his righteousness, all for it. I would just want to make sure that people knew that that's what they were getting. In other words, if you're there on Ben Yehuda Street, make sure they know you're a Messianic Jew and that this is a Messianic Jewish tallis and has a message about Jesus Yeshua in it. Don't surprise people with it. Now, maybe they were making a plan and the tourists just missed it. Anyway, it's never a dull moment in Israel. 866-348-7884. Princess in Englewood, New Jersey, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Yes, thanks, Dr. Brown, for taking my call, and I hope you're enjoying yourself in Hong Kong, and I pray that you have a safe trip back.
Thank you.
Now, in the book of Romans 11, and chapter 11, verse 25, you will see that God speak about respecting Israel and reverencing them. In other words, he didn't want us to. I don't think we should be, pressing them and forcing them to come to the Messiah, because God says they will come at the end, the fullness of the Gentiles. Chapter 11 of Romans, verse 25 say, when the Gentile time is fulfilled, God will lift the blindness and draw them. He is the one to take them back. They are in the land now, so I don't think anybody should be forcing them to.
Ah, well, let me just say this.
All right.
Absolutely, no one should ever be forcing anyone to believe or putting people under pressure to believe. But remember that Paul did say that in every generation there's a remnant saved by grace. I'm part of that remnant today. Paul was part of it in his day. Mm. Elijah was part of it in his day. So
right.
Here, I have Jewish friends, relatives. I want to see them come to know the Lord, just like others have friends and relatives who are not saved. So we always want to be praying. We always want to be offering the gospel. We always want to be reaching out. Every Jewish person has the potential of salvation. And we don't just want to wait for some end time event, because, hey, that may not happen in this generation. It may happen a generation or two in the future. What about the people living today? So we always want to be jealous for the salvation of Jewish people. Paul says in Romans 10, verse 1, that his prayer for them
right.
is that they may be saved. So that should be our heart. God save Jewish people, open their hearts, open their minds, while we reach out with patience, with love, and we share the good news with the scriptures. We share it with our changed lives. And then we continue to pray that God would hasten the national turning of his people. So I say it's both and, but absolutely, Princess, no one should ever put any other person under pressure or think that somehow you're going to pressure a Jewish person into believing. Tragically, one reason that many Jews do not believe is because the horrors of church history, terrible things that were done to Jewish people in Jesus' name through history. But Princess, thank you for your prayers and for your love for the Jewish people. I do appreciate it. 866-348-7884. When I saw the name Princess, you know what it reminded me of? When I got into Hong Kong, as I mentioned last week, first thing I did, it was one in the morning, first thing I did was check the Ethernet cable, the network cable in the room for my radio connection, because that's what we have to use with our portable equipment. Wireless is not adequate, and there was a problem with it, and they had to switch me to another room. They did that the next day, but the first night, we were trying to figure it out. Then the next morning, I get on the phone with tech support, and the person from tech support that took over the case was named Precious. I saw Princess. I said, Prince? No, Precious. So good to hear from Princess in New Jersey and get tech support from Precious here in Hong Kong. 866-34-TRUTH. Can we take a moment to go back to Romans, the 11th chapter? Can I remind you that Paul took what is now in our chapter divisions, three whole chapters in Romans, because he wanted to be sure that the Roman believers understood God's purposes for Israel and how his promises didn't fail, and that there was an Israel within Israel, there was a remnant within the nation that did believe, but that God's love for the whole nation remained, and that there would be a national turning. And when Paul gave a warning, Romans 11:25, I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery, brothers, so that you may not be conceited. But what's his point? If the church misunderstood God's dealings with Israel, if the church thought God is finished with Israel, God is finished with the Jewish people, the promises no longer apply to them, there are no more national promises for them. Jews scattered around the world have no more national promises. There is no promise of a final ingathering of scattered Jews back to the land. There's no promise of a national turning. Verses like Jeremiah 31:1, a future promise, at that time I will be the God of all the clans of Israel. Somehow those no longer apply, or the church has replaced Israel. Paul said, if you misunderstand this, if you're ignorant of the mystery, you will become conceited. You'll be wise in your own eyes. He said, this is the mystery. Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. What does he mean, hardness in part? He means it's not over the entire nation, because there's always a remnant of believers in Jesus and true followers of God in every generation, remnant of Jews that do believe. So he says it's hardening in part, and it's not for all time. It's not for the entire nation, and it's not for all time. So the promises remain. There will be a turning. And he then says that this will be the condition until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And in this way, all Israel will be saved. Or after this, all Israel will be saved. What would it mean in this way? Provoked by the massive harvest of the Gentiles and the Spirit's work around the world. In this way, Israel, then, the Jewish nation, will turn back to God. All Israel will be saved.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. Hey, Joey, let's play that clip from the responsive reading. This was in the chapel service yesterday here in Hong Kong, a sister reading from Matthew 28 and other passages. Go into all the world, make disciples, and then the people respond with an amen, we'll go. Let's listen.
Amen.
Yeah, just that little moment. Those of you who understand Chinese are grinning ear to ear. The rest of us thinking, boy, that's a tough sounding language. Wow. To not grow up with it and have to learn it later. Some of our grads have done it very successfully, but boy, that'd be a tough language for me to learn. I do much better with text, written text, and learning languages that way than speaking. And Chinese is so different for Westerners. 866-348-7884. Back to the phones. Russell in East Quogue, New York. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. It's an honor, certainly, to speak with you.
Thank you.
Maybe a twofold question.
Yeah.
The first one would be, you know, Abraham, I was curious, Abraham being called out of the Ur of the Chaldees, as we know, did that make, I don't know even know if my question would be correct in the sense as the way I'm forming it, but does that make him certainly a spiritual Jew? Was he, being in from the Ur of the Chaldees, was he a physical Jew?
No, there was no such thing as Jew at that time. He was just a person of the nations. And
yeah,
in fact, he was uncircumcised at that point, which means that when he first believed, Genesis 15, it says that God counted his faith to him as righteousness. He was a Gentile, and he was uncircumcised, and Paul points that out in Romans 4, that he's the father of faith for the circumcised and the uncircumcised. The concept of Jew doesn't come up for many centuries later. What you have is Abram becoming Abraham, then Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and then Jacob's name is changed to Israel. And then the 12 tribes of Israel. So now you have the people of Israel, but Abraham was not an Israelite either. There was no such thing as Israelite until several generations after that, a descendant of Israel who was the grandson of Abraham. So
to think of him as a
Jew, in a sense, would be a misnomer. Now, obviously, Jewish people look back at him as the father of the faith, but to look at him as a Jew would be a misnomer. To look at Moses as a Jew would also be a misnomer. He was an Israelite, but not a Jew. The concept of being a Jew develops then centuries and centuries later. You have one of the tribes of Israel is the tribe of Judah, and then that ends up forming the basis of the southern kingdom of Judah. And then after the exile into Babylon in 586, when the Jewish people return, it's now the province of Judah. So the different tribes of Israel, the remnants of the different tribes that were there, and then the tribe of Judah, they were known as Jews, and that's how the name came. So it's the same people, But to think of Abraham as a Jew would be a misstatement in terms of historical development, but the father of the Jewish people, absolutely.
Yes, amen. If you don't mind, the other part of the question, which I think is find pretty interesting. You know, in the modern day movement of the prosperity message, of course, we're all, in a sense, we're defending the gospel, aren't we, against such things? And it's interesting. In Galatians, and if for you to maybe just comment, in Galatians 3:14, it says that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, many of the modern day camps, considering a false gospel, when they speak about the blessing of Abraham, they speak about it in a materialistic sense. That the first and foremost, what they like to preach and say is that, you know, it has to do with Abraham's material blessings and all these, you know, all those type of blessings or type of things. But clearly from that scripture, it appears to me that the blessing of Abraham is all about the new covenant, the new life, and the new birth.
Yes, certainly. You know, Paul does write about inheriting the entire world, and that's a promise that comes to the righteous. And you know, you have that nuance, but certainly the blessing of Abraham that Paul speaks of is not emphasizing financial prosperity. And I just say this, the folks I know who preach a carnal prosperity message do preach that salvation comes through faith in Jesus and that we need to be saved from our sins, etc. In other words, it's the true gospel in that respect. It's a wrong emphasis. It's a false emphasis that then says that good news to the poor means that you can be rich, etc., or gives people a motivation to follow Jesus so that they can be financially rich. That's the serious error to it. Does God supply our needs? Yes. Are we blessed so that we can be a blessing to others? Definitely. Is it God's desire to meet our needs so that we can give to the hurting, to the needy, to the poor, and help missions around the world? Absolutely. Did Jesus die to make me rich? No, no, no. That's the serious error, the carnal prosperity emphasis there. And Russell, I share with you my own grief over that message being preached. Thanks for the call and for pointing us to Galatians 3. Okay, I'm out of time, but I've got one more hour. So if you want to catch more of the broadcast live from Hong Kong, then just go to my website, askdrbrown.org, and click on the Line of Fire. And again, that's also where you will find a link to my latest article, When Having a Baby is a Crime. Please take advantage of this very, very special offer through this week. We're sending out free and postage paid a message based on one Hebrew word, acharit. You'll probably never forget the word. I've literally been in different nations and had people come up to me 15, 20 years later, and the first thing they say, they don't speak English, I don't speak their language, and they look at me and smile and say, acharit, acharit. They remember the message. It's a real life changer. It's not just insightful, it's a life changer, and it's yours free. So call right now, 1-800-278-9978, especially if you've never received anything from our ministry. Let us send you this, 1-800-278-9978. If you can help with a donation, that would be awesome. That would be a great blessing to us. Some of you can. Some of you may feel prompted to become monthly torchbearers and share together in this important work. But please, everyone, take advantage of this free offer. Tell your friends as well, and call this number now, 1-800-278-9978. And please be praying for God to open up hearts and minds of Jewish people around the world and in the land of Israel. It is a time of great harvest in the nations and of growing harvest among the Jewish people. And my bottom line today is simply this. Do not say, as a Gentile follower of Jesus, the salvation of the Jewish people is not important to me. But remember, it will be Jewish repentance that will help usher in the return of Jesus, the Messiah. Well, why in the world should the church care about the repentance of the Jewish people?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast, 4 a.m. in the morning here in Hong Kong. Got up at 2 a.m., got ready for the broadcast, started at 3 a.m. This is now hour number two, live from Hong Kong. After the show, my goal will be to wind down, rest a little bit, get a couple hours rest, and then start another full day, the last full day teaching Jeremiah here to these precious Chinese students, going through lots of practical application of the book, and then at the end of the day, laying hands on the 44 students in the class for fresh impartation of God's grace and fire and power, that God will send them back to the mainland to be used even more effectively. So please pray for me today. It's going to be a long, full day, and then into the evening, there'll be further chapel service and testimony from the students and things like that, and then get back to my room and then have to get ready for a very early morning flight out, about 30 hours of travel coming back to the States. So thanks for praying. And it is Thursday, though, in the States, Friday morning here in Hong Kong, but that means it's Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. And I would love to take your calls today on any Jewish-related question you have, be it interpretation of Scripture, be it understanding what Jewish people believe and practice, be it overcoming Jewish objections to Jesus. Your calls are warmly welcomed, and the earlier you're able to call, the better, since we often get more flooded as the show goes on, and then calls I would have liked to have gotten to earlier, just no time. So, number to call, 866-348-7884. 866-34-TRUTH. Let me give you some news updates from Israel. Last week, reports circulated that the current president of Egypt, Mohamed Morsi, in an interview that was posted online, so 2007, called Zionists bloodsuckers and descendants of pigs, and urged the severing of all ties with Israel. So here's an article from Times of Israel. Watchdog group posts footage and transcript of president's incendiary remarks from 2 years before his election. So I'm looking at this. This is Memory TV. This is Israel monitoring what's being broadcast in Egypt, in Iran, and Saudi Arabia. And then it's quite fascinating to go to this website, and then you can see the actual clips, clips from these various TV shows and other places. You can see all this, and then if it's normally Arabic or Farsi, then you see the translation into English, and it's extraordinary. So Muslim Brotherhood Mohamed Morsi, before he was president of Egypt and before he was seeking to present a more moderate tone, again, he described Zionists, quote, as bloodsuckers, descendants of apes and pigs, which is traditional Islamic rhetoric against the Jewish people, urged, quote, military resistance against Israel, and called to sever all ties with the Jewish state. These were Arabic interviews posted online in 2010, and the footage was found, translated, reported, and transcribed this week, so meaning last week, by Memory, the Middle East Media Research Institute. So do you think his views have changed? Do you think President Morsi's views have changed since he has become leader? Or is it just they're being presented in more moderate ways? We'll be back.
God of burning, cleansing flame, send It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Later in the broadcast, I'll play a couple of clips that I recorded in the chapel service yesterday morning here in Hong Kong. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. It's Friday morning, early in the morning, 4:07 in the morning here in Hong Kong, but it is Thoroughly Jewish Thursday in the States. So I'm focusing on Jewish-related issues today, and we'll be talking about the importance of Jewish repentance, why everyone in the body should care about that. We'll be talking about that, giving you some updates on things happening in Israel, and taking your Jewish related questions at 866-348-7884. Again, I am live, which means phone lines are open. Yesterday's broadcast, I didn't take any calls. Today, I am taking calls. So join the broadcast. And then again, please pray for me through the day. If I don't mean pray all day for me, if the Lord calls you to, awesome, if you've got the time. But just if you can remember me, for strength, for grace, for anointing, for focus, for health through this day and then through the travel time coming back, I would really deeply appreciate it. So I'm here in Hong Kong. I'm teaching Chinese Christians from the mainland. My class, 44 students ranging in age, basically from 25 to 55. A lot more younger students than I was expecting, which is great. Some of them already in ministry. Some of them being trained at this point and not in full-time work. But they were telling me about their heart for Israel. They were telling me about the Chinese churches and their solidarity with Israel and their heart for Israel and how the nation as a whole and the state-run media will have a different take on things, obviously, but how there's great solidarity with the churches, with talking about the believing churches in China with Israel. I have seen that around the world for decades. I have seen that all over America for decades. When I got saved in 1971, 16 and a half years old, within weeks, my dad wanted me to sit down with the local rabbi, and he and I began to talk, and the local rabbi said, "You're very sincere and devoted and all of that, but you're wrong in terms of what you believe." That began a friendship. We're still in touch every so often over the years now, over 40 years later, remarkably. But one of the first things this rabbi did was gave me a book to read. It was by a Christian author, Malcolm Hay, and it was called Europe and the Jews. It's been published under other titles, Foot of Pride, and other titles it's been published under, but it was about anti-Semitism in church history. Now, you have to understand, this was all new to me. I didn't grow up in an area where there was a lot of anti-Semitism. I was part of a community that was almost all Jewish, about 300 families, almost all Jewish. And then literally on the other side of a little bridge, it was almost all Gentile. We all went to the same school, but there was no anti-Semitism I remember growing up with in terms of hostility towards us or hatred towards us or you Jews or Christ killers or anything like that. Then when I got saved and then I was given this book about anti-Semitism in church history, it was a shock. I didn't know this leader and that. And most leaders I'd never heard of. Number one, I wouldn't have heard of them growing up in a Jewish home. And number two, the church in which I was saved would be more prone to quote scripture than to quote Christian leaders. And if it was going to quote a Christian leader, it would be someone like, you know, Charles Spurgeon or Billy Graham or something like that, as opposed to John Calvin or Martin Luther. So I read the book and I was shocked to see some of the terrible things that some of these leaders like John Chrysostom had said and Martin Luther later in life, hostile anti-Jewish writings and sermons. But I kind of skipped over it because when I was at church and we followed the Bible, That was the mentality we had. You know, we go right back to the New Testament. You know, we're following Jesus. Not that there had never been true believers through the years, but it was just something I didn't really have to deal with that heavily. And everywhere I went, the church where I got saved, there seemed to be a special love for the Jewish people in Israel, not just for me as a Jew who was following Jesus, but for the nation of Israel. There was a sense that God had regathered the Jewish people back to the land. This is what Christians believed. And I ran into that consistently. I did not run into Jew hatred in the church. I did not run into anti-Semitism in the church. In fact, expressions like that over the years that I ran into were few and far between. I run into it now on a certain level, a certain hostility towards Israel from those who have taken up the grievances of Palestinians and have very negative feelings towards Israel, or tie that in with the theology that the promises, national promises to Israel, no longer apply. But over the 41 years that I've been saved, what I've run into consistently among believers is support for Israel, solidarity with Israel, not whitewashing things that Israel might do wrong, but simply saying we believe God has regathered the Jewish people to the land. We believe this is an act of God's mercy. We believe God has preserved them even through the horrors of the Holocaust. And by the way, the Jewish population in Israel now is just over 6 million, which obviously is significant because that's the number of Jews killed in the Holocaust. Now that is the Jewish population in Israel, just over 6 million. Another evidence of God's gracious hand of mercy, not our works of righteousness, but his mercy. What has struck me, though, very supernaturally, friends, as I've traveled around the world, I mean, nation after nation after nation, I'm talking about in Kenya, I'm talking about in Mexico, I'm talking about in Sweden, I'm talking about in Korea, I'm talking about in India, and now Chinese Christians in Hong Kong, I have run into this supernatural love for Israel and the Jewish people put in the hearts of these Christians by God. In other words, it hasn't been some sentimental political thing. It hasn't been something that they just learned it by church tradition. I'm talking about things that God put in the hearts of these believers in quite remarkable ways. Love for Israel, calling to pray for Israel, and the Chinese church, the house churches and others, there has been a movement for some years now called Back to Jerusalem. The concept being that the gospel went out from Jerusalem into the nations, and then it went through the entire world and is now making its way back in a certain way through a massive harvest of souls in Latin America, in Africa, and Asia. But part of this is coming back now, as you look at Africa, Asia, coming back to Israel, back to Jerusalem. And they believe that this is part of their destiny and calling to help the gospel go back to Jerusalem and to pray for the salvation of Israel and the Jewish people. It's remarkable to see that. It always blesses me. It always reminds me of the faithfulness of God. This is something he's doing. And yes, he will save the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As surely as he has scattered the Jews around the world, he will regather us, and he has been regathering us. And as surely as he is physically regathering us, he is spiritually regathering us. And I do not doubt for a split second that Jesus will return welcome back by the Jewish people. No, I don't mean every single Jew in the world, but I mean there will be a national turning. I don't doubt that for a split second. I grieve for Jews, my fellow Jews who don't know Jesus the Messiah today. I grieve for those who die without him, but I do not question for a split second that there will be a national turning, and that the words of Paul in Romans 11, echoing the words of the Old Testament prophets, will be fulfilled, and all Israel will be saved. And you know what is going to help that happen. You know what is going to play a key role in that happening. Is it just some prophetic thing that's going to happen automatically and just push a button? Okay, now what's next down the calendar, Lord? Let's see. We got Israel's salvation. Okay, bing, push that button. No. It's going to be the prayers of the church. It's going to be love of the church. And it's going to be the people of God walking in the life and power and vitality of the Spirit and a real living relationship with Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah. And his mercy has come to them. they in turn will have mercy on the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And the love of the church and the witness of the church and the prayers of the church will provoke Israel to envy. Yes, yes, it's going to happen. And then Jewish repentance will bring life from the dead. Jewish repentance will be the final thing, the culmination of God's work in the nations of the earth and among the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Go to Zechariah 12 and look at how glorious the repentance will be. And then Zechariah 13 to see the fruit of it. And then Zechariah 14 to see the worldwide dimensions of it. We'll be back.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I've been saying that Jewish repentance, the turning of the Jewish people back to the Messiah, back to God, will be of great importance for the entire world. This is a theme in the Hebrew Scriptures that is echoed again in the New Testament. 866-348-7884. Michael Brown coming away live from Hong Kong, live meaning 4:20 a.m. from Hong Kong, so I can take your calls and interact with you today. And again, asking for your prayers for strength and grace in what's going to be a very busy, intense day and really couple plus days, finish teaching, ministering, and then traveling back. So any Jewish-related question you have of any kind, or something you may differ with me as a Jewish listener and you don't believe in Jesus, by all means give me a call. Or you may differ with my stance on Israel today. Love to hear from you. 866-34-TRUTH. Isaiah chapter 2. As I emphasize the importance of Jewish repentance in terms of how it impacts the nations, the word that Isaiah the son of Amoz saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 1. Now we continue. It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be lifted up above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it or stream to it, which is an interesting picture, streaming up a mountain. Some Jewish translators suggest that the word translated to stream there may mean to glow, meaning to gaze on the mountain and on the Lord with joy. But the more natural interpretation would be flow to it, stream to it. So they're going to stream up the mountain. So notice this. When the mountain of the house of the Lord is established as the highest of the mountains, when Jerusalem is exalted, why? Because the people of Jerusalem have turned back to the God of Israel. When that happens, then all nations will flow to it. And many peoples shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. Notice this is many peoples. This is the nations of the world. They will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, that let me get this right, that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go the Torah, the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He who, the God of Israel, the Messiah, shall judge between the nations and shall decide disputes for many peoples, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. And then based on this, based on the fact that the nations are going to come streaming into Jerusalem, Isaiah turns to his own people and says, oh, house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. There is even a play on words of some of the language here, what the nations say. Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. Isaiah the prophet turns to his people, O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. 866-348-7884. As I understand it, there is a premillennial return of Jesus. Jesus returns at the end of this age, catches up his people to meet with him, all of his people, Jew and Gentile, saved, his people, his body. We are caught up to meet him in the air and escort him back to the earth. This is the final thing that takes place at the end of this age. He destroys the wicked. He establishes his kingdom in Jerusalem. And he rules and reigns on the earth for 1,000 years. The book of Revelation, the 20th chapter, gives us that number of the 1,000 years. But the picture of his rule and reign we have in Isaiah 2. We have in Isaiah 11. When does this happen? This happens with Jewish repentance. This happens as the Jewish people turn back to God. The gospel has gone through the nations. The Jewish people have now turned back to God. Messiah sets up his kingdom in Jerusalem. And this final repentance of the Jewish people now causes the nations to come streaming into Jerusalem to learn the ways of the God of Israel. Who would this be? This would be the survivors of the nations that attacked Jerusalem. So there's a glorious picture of what's going to happen. And you may differ with some of the specific prophetic interpretation. You may be a dispensational premillennialist. Well, that's fine. We still agree on the millennial emphasis. You might be amillennial, postmillennial. We'll have our differences there, and I'm not going to divide over those. Absolutely not. I just want to say, notice what happens, that Jewish turning to God brings harvest of the nations, brings life from the dead, brings the glory of God on the earth. 866-34-TRUTH. Cheryl in Charlotte, North Carolina, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
I'm curious, and I understand somewhat that how the Jewish people don't believe in Christ, but I guess I don't understand how they have such a strong belief against Yeshua not being their Messiah.
All right, Cheryl, I want to send you a free copy of my book, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood. So when I'm done talking with you, I'm going to put you on hold, and then Andrew is going to get your contact info. We're going to send this out. I've written 5 volumes, 1,500 pages of answering Jewish objections to Jesus. So the list is very long. But in short, Jewish people would say, well, the Messiah is supposed to bring peace on earth, just like that passage I read from Isaiah 2. And rather than Jesus bringing peace on earth, we've had war and famine, destruction the last 2,000 years. Then they would point to church history, and most of the professing church has often been guilty of anti-Semitism and even persecution of Jews, crusades, inquisitions. European Christianity paved the way for the Holocaust, so they've seen that hypocritical witness. They associate that with Jesus. And then they associate the fundamental beliefs with something foreign to Judaism. They understand the Trinity as if we believe in three gods. They would say that God is not a man. The Torah states that plainly. They would say they don't need blood atonement. They would say God has given them the law, and through obedience to the law and repentance, they can be accepted in God's sight. So there are many different aspects of it. But Cheryl, if I said to you, was a Christian, how come you don't believe in Muhammad? In your mind, it's a foreign religion. You don't even investigate it. Well, the vast majority of Jews don't investigate who Jesus is, especially if they're very religious, because they understand he's not for us. My book, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood, will really give you further insight, though, Cheryl, into how Jewish people see Jesus and give you more of a heart to pray for us. But thank you so much for calling. So stay on the line, and Andrew will get your info. Friends, have you received your free copy of my Acharit CD based on one Hebrew word in the Hebrew Scriptures? We open this up and then preach truth to you that will be utterly life-changing, and it's free. The most important message I've ever preached, free on a CD, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. If you can help with a gift for a ministry, that'd be awesome. But please, take advantage of this free offer, 1-800-278-9978.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Do you know that here in Hong Kong, where I'm coming your way live at 4:30 in the morning, here in Hong Kong, these precious Chinese pastors, leaders, seminary students that I am teaching are super interested in Israel and super interested in Jewish issues and very much praying for the salvation of Israel and the Jewish people and standing in support with Israel. Amazingly, it's something to see as I go from nation to nation to nation and see consistently tremendous love for Israel and the Jewish people written supernaturally on hearts by God. All right, I am coming your way live so I can take your calls. And even though it's 4:30 in the morning here in Hong Kong, and then after the show, going to try to wind down a bit, rest a couple more hours before getting picked up for a full day of teaching and ministry, I wanted to come your way live once again so I can take your calls. Here's the number to call, 866-348-7884. One more time, 866-34-TRUTH. Did you catch yesterday's broadcast? Very, very important broadcast talking about abortion, talking about the destruction of the family on so many ways in society. I've written an article about it, When Having a Baby is a Crime. You'll find it eye-opening and very informative. To read the article, go to my website, AskDrBrown.org, and just click on the line of fire, and you'll see a link to read the article. I've got some Jewish-related news for you, and then some further insights, spiritual insights, as to why the repentance of the Jewish people, why the Jewish people turning back to God the Messiah will have implications for the entire world. So we'll cover some scripture, we'll take your calls, and we'll give you some news-related updates. Again, 866-348-7884 to join me on the program. And I have been asking for prayer for the last hour and a half, and I'll ask for it again for the rest of this day. Oh, next 48 hours or so, if you think of me, pray, because I've got a full day of teaching and ministry today. I'm going to be laying hands on all the students at the end of the day for God's blessing and anointing and grace, then a special closing service, and then pack up, get ready for about 30 hours of travel back home, arriving back in the States, Charlotte, somewhere Saturday evening. So thanks for standing with me and praying. This is some interesting news from the Allgemeiner website, a Jewish website from January 4th. Last weekend, Father Gabriel Nadav, 39, a Greek Orthodox priest from Nazareth, challenged a boycott against him and attempted to enter the church there to recite a prayer and light a candle. He was accompanied by Israeli border police officers and supporters who came to ensure his safe passage into the church. Nadav was excommunicated by the Orthodox Church Council after he expressed his belief that Christian youth in Israel should fully integrate into Israeli society, serving in the IDF or in the National Service. Since then, he and others like Father Andre Alamia have been the target of virulent attacks from opponents to this idea. For example, Father Alamia's tires were slashed last weekend and a rag saturated with blood was placed at his doorstep in Nazareth. Father Nadav believes Israel serves as an anchor for its Christian minority and cares for its security, and from this he derives his commitment toward Israel. Since his excommunication from the council, which is headed by Dr. Azmi Hakim, a member of the Israeli Communist Party, he has been forced to move around with bodyguards. In other words, the traditional church in the Middle East is very much opposed to Israel, to the point that if you are a cleric like Father Gabriel Nadav, Greek Orthodox, and you stand with Israel, and you say Israel's helping with security, you could suffer some severe repercussions. Back with your calls, back with the scriptures, back with more news. Stay with us.
Flame, send the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on The Line of Fire. Hey, Joey, let's play that singing clip again. I recorded this in the chapel service yesterday morning. They sing a lot of the traditional hymns, and some of the Christians in my class, Chinese Christians, come from traditional backgrounds, and even if their church affiliation is different, singing the hymns is very much a part of their Christian tradition. So this is what it sounded like in chapel yesterday morning. Yes, that takes some of you back to when you were used to singing the hymns as well, if your church currently doesn't. Let me just play one other clip. Otherwise, I may lose track of time and not do it. And then we'll go to your calls, your Jewish-related calls. 866-348-7884, coming your way live from Hong Kong. There were two Chinese brothers who testified and brought brief messages in chapel yesterday. And each of us, the three professors, Dr. Bill Mounts teaching pastoral epistles, Dr. Greg Scharf teaching biblical preaching, and then me teaching Jeremiah, we each have a translator with us. And the translators working with us faithfully, they have great theological education. They are fluent in English and Chinese, of course. They are Chinese, but fluent in English as well. And they're translating for us through the day as we teach 6 hours a day. They're translating as each of us preached one chapel service. They're translating. And then if people want to talk to us in Chinese, they're translating. So what you're going to hear is someone kind of whispering in my ear the translation. And then because that's right next to me and that's where I was recording, then you'll hear in the background this Chinese pastor talking. And he's talking about how the older generation seemed to have this tremendous intimate relationship with Jesus. That's kind of the way he was raised. And the younger generation, they may be able to describe Jesus better, but they may not have encountered him as deeply. So this is what it sounded like also in chapel yesterday morning.
In our generation,
there was a transition.
In our Christians, no matter the believers or pastoral leaders, I witness the older generation have that clear, strong interaction with God. They would tell me they have dinner with Jesus and they embrace Jesus.
Now, what's interesting is my Chinese translator studied in England, Scotland, so she has a very nice English accent. Her English accent is better than mine, so she's been translating for me. Cherry is her name, and just doing an awesome job. All right. To the phones. Anne in Largo, Florida, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. I have been praying that the Lord has given me an international chat ministry. I've been praying for the Lord to send me someone from Israel to talk to them about the Lord and the Holy Spirit talking, not me. If you only had 5 minutes or maybe less with that person, what scriptures would you share with them in order to introduce them to Yeshua, Messiah?
Yeah, I appreciate your heart for this and the practicality of your question. On the one hand, the gospel is the gospel, and many Jewish people will listen to verses from the New Testament, and you could share the standard gospel presentation from the New Testament with a Jewish person as well. But since many will not want to hear that or they won't recognize it, it would be for them just like a Muslim quoting the Quran to us. The passage that has been most used in Jewish evangelism through the centuries, and the one that's had the most impact on the most Jews, is Isaiah chapter 53. The passage starts 52:13 through 53:12. And what we simply ask Jewish people to do is read this and tell me who you think this is speaking of, because it lays out with such clarity the Messiah's suffering and death on behalf of the nation not recognizing why he was doing it, thinking he was dying for his own sins, and yet that being the key through its healing and redemption comes to the nation. A traditional Jew will argue in response and say, no, that refers to the nation of Israel, or the righteous remnant within the nation. And to get into a sophisticated argument about that is obviously layers of detail. I've written extensively on that. But in short, that would be the number one passage to say, hey, who does this look like? And do you understand that in our mind, Jesus the Jew came for his own people first, and because he's the Jewish Messiah, he's the Savior of the world. Let me just mention to you, our Jewish website is realmessiah.com. Realmessiah.com. You can watch debates I've had with rabbis there. You can listen to testimonies of Israeli believers and others there. You can read a synopsis of all the different objections I cover in my 5 volumes, all the different objections, Jewish objections I cover, how to answer them. And then you can also watch some of the Jewish outreach TV shows called Think It Through. That's all okay. On the Real Messiah website. So realmessiah.com, you'll find a ton of resources and plenty of books you can purchase as well that will help you further, okay?
Thank you so much. God bless you.
God bless you, Ann. Appreciate it. 866-348-7884. Ken in Tampa, Florida, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello there, Dr. Brown.
Hello.
This is Ken Hershey, Tampa, Florida. How you doing?
Doing well, thanks.
I met you at Suresh when you were speaking at USF and so forth down here.
Great.
We have some people coming in to Tampa area, to the Suresh. George and Rivka Whitson, he's the founder of worthynews.com. They're coming in on February 8th and 9th to us.
Okay.
And
right.
The other man that's coming happens to be the man to the left of the Greek Orthodox person in that in the photo from Israel Today
okay.
News,
yeah.
About the persecution in Nazareth that you were just speaking on.
Yeah.
Avi Lipkin. Dennis Avi Lipkin is Victor Mordecai. VicMord.com is his website. He stays with us here in Tampa Bay when he comes from Israel. And my wife stayed with him over in Israel several months last year. He's due in this week in New York. He's going to be coming in. He's looking for places to speak about the fact that, you know, it's well known in the Arab world. His wife's Egyptian. She, for the Israeli government, translated all the news for many years. She was a broadcaster there on Channel 1, I guess it is, in Israel. And she monitored all the news out of Egypt and the surrounding Arab countries.
Got it. But you, yeah, just for time's sake, Ken, you were saying that it's well known in Israel, but then you didn't finish what was well known.
It's well known of the persecution against Christians in Israel, and what his wife told him is well known in the Middle East is that we're going to kill the Jews on Friday and or Saturday, and we're going to kill the Christians on Sunday, and after that, any other day of the week, anybody else, it's not
yeah.
of Islam.
Yeah, there is that saying, first the Saturday people, then the Sunday people. In other words, there's the persecution of the Jews first from radical Islam, and then right. after that, the persecution of Christians. Of course, that's steadily happening in countries like Nigeria, for example, in the north, heavy Muslim persecution of Christians. In Indonesia, Muslim persecution of Christians. That happens in other places. But, you know, Ken, it's so striking that the argument now is that Israel is responsible for the oppression of Palestinian Christianity.
Crazy.
That Israel is squeezing the life out of Palestinian Christians. Now, I'm sure they've yeah. suffered some hardships because of security measures Israel's had to take to keep terrorists and murders out, but it's been seen and documented in the Middle East, in other Muslim countries, that it is the attack of Islam on Christianity that's creating such pressure. And we see it in Egypt right now with the rise of the Muslim Brotherhood and the great concern of what that's going to mean for Coptic Christianity. We see in Iraq that, what, half of the Christian populations had to flee the country because of radical Islam. You know, Saddam Hussein, with all of his evil, still had a certain stabilizing effect on the nation in terms of holding back certain forces. Hey, Ken, we've got to run, but if folks want to come to any of these meetings, what's the congregation's website?
What we want to do is have anyone that, like yourself, contact me. You know, I'm at kenhersey@yahoo.com.
Contact me,
and if you want to set up a time that Avi could speak to you over the phone or meet with you in Charlotte, he'll be in later this month. The other point is about...
Ken, just, I'm sorry, got to run, got a break here. But Ken, we've got your contact info there. I appreciate it. Appreciate what you are seeking to facilitate. God cares about Israelis, Palestinians, just the same. They are people for whom Jesus died. But what you often hear reported, bashing Israel, is not accurate. Thanks, Ken.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right. My computer says 3:50 p.m. because my computer is on Eastern Standard Time. My body clock says I have no idea what time it is. My watch says 4:50 a.m. That is Hong Kong time. So are you ready for my prayer request? Pray that after the show I'll be able to wind down and catch a couple hours sleep. I'm going to be back up at 8 and then teach from 9 to 3 and then 3 to 6. The last class, we want to lay hands on these precious students from China. And then tonight from 7 to 9:30 into the evening, there'll be the closing ceremonies and testimony from students and pictures with students and that kind of thing. So thank you for praying, for anointing, for grace, and for some sleep too. All right. I get up about an hour before the show, get wired, focused, sharp, but I'm short on sleep. So how's that request? And then for grace, blessing, rest on the flights back. Check out this news. A new survey by the Central Bureau of Statistics published Sundays, this is a couple weeks back now, says that as 2012 draws to an end, Israel's population numbers 7,981,000 people. According to the Central Bureau of Statistics, 75.4% of Israelis are Jews. That is 6,015,000. Then 1,648,000 are Arabs, and 319,000 are affiliated with other various religious and ethnic groups. So over 20% of the population is Arab. What's remarkable is there had been the notion in the earlier days of looking at a partition plan and two-state solution and the nations discussing what to do with Jews and Arabs living in the land in the 1930s, 1940s. Was not enough room for everybody. Well, it's proven there's plenty of room. Over 8 million, this is not including Gaza and West Bank. And what's especially significant is that there are now over 6 million Jews living in Israel, which is the number of Jews killed in the Holocaust. I want to go back one more time to the subject of Jewish repentance. I won't be taking any more calls. Jewish repentance and the salvation of the nations. I stand with the modern state of Israel, meaning I believe that God has given promises to keep our people just as he scattered us. He is regathering us. He has preserved us and is regathering us. And he has raised up the modern state of Israel. And one reason it is so hated is because Satan wants to wipe out the Jewish people and make God into a liar and stop the return of Jesus. At the same time, I absolutely not think for a split second that Israel is anywhere near perfect. There are many things that Israel does that are commendable, and with all the attacks on Israel and some who take up the cause of Palestinians in an uncritical way and just bash Israel, they fail to realize the pressure Israel's under, the amount of forces that want to wipe the Jewish people out, and the degree that Israeli military works to hold to an high ethical standard. At the same time, I am the last one to make is, oh, is it Jewish people? Oh, perfect. Oh, Israel. Israel can do no wrong. No, 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 no. The very, very religious Jews, with all their devotion to morals and to the God of Israel, hotly, militantly oppose the gospel of Jesus, obviously. And then the great majority of the nation, certainly well over 70%, are not Orthodox and certainly not ultra-Orthodox Jews, and many are very secular. So how about this report? The far-left Meretz Party kicked its campaign into gear this week. This report comes from last week, with a wedding ceremony conducted by a parliamentary member, Knesset member, for three couples. And Knesset member Nitzan Horowitz, quote, married two women, two men, and a man and a woman in a ceremony outside the rabbinate in Tel Aviv. So here they are saying openly, yeah, we're going to perform, even though it's not legal, we're going to perform weddings for gay couples. And then, of course, they would openly do this in desecration of the Sabbath. Look, Israel needs God. Don't glorify Israel and the Jewish people as if it was not absolutely life and death critical for them to turn to God, receive forgiveness through Messiah. But I want you to see this. Many passages like this in the Old Testament. Isaiah 62:1, for Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. That's not the church. It's talking about Jerusalem. And Jerusalem represented the Jewish people. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not be quiet until her righteousness goes forth as brightness and her salvation as a burning torch. The nations shall see your righteousness, and all the kings your glory. You shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. So many promises that as Israel turns to God, the nations will be blessed. Isaiah 66 thus says, the Lord, behold, I'll extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream, and you shall nourish, you shall be carried upon her hip and bounced upon her knees as one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Friends, pray with me, believe God with me for the salvation of Israel and the Jewish people, for the supernatural turning back to God of the Jewish people, for the remnant to grow and grow and grow, Jews who believe in Jesus now, for that number to grow and grow and grow until it becomes a massive tidal wave from the religious Jews to the secular Jews, and that along with the gospel going to the nations and the church maturing into the image of Jesus would bring about the end of this age and the return of the King and the establishment of God's kingdom on the earth. Please take advantage of the special offer. We've just got one more day to do this. My CD, The Message, Acharit, The Final End, the most important message I've ever preached in my life, one that is literally known by many people around the world who've heard it and been changed by it and have never forgotten it. It's yours free to listen to in your car, on your computer, MP3 player, 1-800-278-9978, especially if you've never ordered from us or received anything from us. Take advantage of this free offer, 1-800-278-9978. We could use your help if you can stand with us with a gift or become a monthly supporter. That'd be wonderful. But we are serious about sending this out free to every one of you, 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. Thanks for praying with me and standing with me during this time in Hong Kong. And one last time, please pray for me as you think of it through the day, that God would strengthen me, that God would give me adequate rest when I can get it, and that the anointing of God would be upon me to minister to these precious Chinese students. My bottom line today, Gentile believers need to remember the mercy that came their way through Israel and to pour out mercy on my people, the lost sheep of the house of Israel, that we may turn back to God as well.